Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
You know, I did preach when there was not such a thing. Not that old. I was just a young child. But it is good to see you and to start the new year off right. I'm glad you could make it. And I believe that God has so much to speak to us today. And I hope you've come ready to hear him, not me, but him. And we're going to find our text this morning in the first chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10. And I want you, as I'm reading this, just to hear what we've sung. You know, the amazing thing is, I did not consult at all with Ron in putting this together, and God just is speaking all that I'm about to speak to you. Just in your mind, recall what you've sung, and you'll see it in this text. But I'll make certain emphases as well as we look at it, that we might know all that we have in Christ. Paul begins with a litany of praise. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every special blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Today, I want to talk to you about your identity in Christ. And it is good to see our kids. A shout out to our Coastal kids, okay? You're my peeps. Glad you're here. And if you are not a part of that crowd, every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 10:30, we meet over, is it over there? Okay, it's over there. I get turned around. All right. So, but, you know, we don't know what we have in Christ. We don't understand the fullness of it. I know that you probably know. Some of you have been studying the Bible all of your life, but you still don't know the fullness, the vastness, the pervasiveness of what it means of Christ in you, the hope of glory. For over 50 years, I've ministered, pastored, preached, and I began as a child. I've seen believers who've been slapped around by Satan, who have been harassed by this world, and they don't realize what they have in Christ. They lose their identity in the world. But I hope you'll understand who we are in Christ, what we have in him, before I finish this. And the first truth about you, the truth about you in Christ is you are blessed by God. And I know we throw that around, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm blessed, you know. Do you really know what that means, the fullness of it? He says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So this is a litany of praise, as I said, where Paul begins to just throw out all that we have in Christ Jesus. And he helps us, first of all, to know a very basic truth. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list, okay? You just go through the Bible, reading it, and say, that pertains to me. I want that. I want that. That's who I am. That's what I have. Just grab a hold of it. Make it a part of your life. And so he begins recognizing this one truth that's so important, and that is God is the source for all we need in this life. If he can't give it to us, we don't need it. And if we need it, he can give it to us. And so he looks to God as the source of his blessings. You know, when we get in a pinch, we look to everything and everyone else but God, don't we? I mean, let's be honest. And so what he's saying is God is the one who has blessed us. And I know he blesses us through other people, but it is God who, as James says, is the giver of good gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father. And so we are recipients of those gifts. We are blessed. But it says in the heavenly realms. What does he mean by that? Well, heaven is where it's at, okay? I know this world just seems to be everything we have, everything we cling to. But folks, we need to get past that. We need to realize that our citizenship is in heaven. We're just pilgrims walking through this earth, and it won't be long compared to the eternity we will spend with God in heaven. And so he has blessed us in the heavenly realms, where the ancient war broke out when Satan rebelled with all of his angels against God, and God cast him out. And if you don't believe in a real person, Satan, you need to look what the scriptures say about him. Look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter especially, and read also 1 Peter. You'll understand that it is there where the authority of God resides. It is there where the decisions, the plans are made, formulated, executed. It is there where our authority lies. We need to realize that we are under the authority of God first and foremost. Oh, I know that they can imprison us here. They can silence us. They can, you know, send IRS after us. Now, if you're guilty, I mean, you deserve it. You know, we fear all of this, but we stand invincible in Christ Jesus. He is our authority. It resides and flows from the throne of God, and we need to know that. But another neat thing is, as we read in the second chapter of Ephesians 6, is that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Folks, I know you're there in your seat right now, but you're seated. If you believe in the Lord and if you are a follower of Christ, you are seated in the heavenly realm right now. That's our existence. That's where we are to do the business of life. Our life is caught up in heaven. And I'm not meaning that we're, you know, so caught up in heaven we're no earthly good, but that's where all our life resides, in him, in heaven. And we are seated there. And so this world does not dictate to us what we must be, what we must do. We get our orders from God. We live, and I love it, we live above the fray of the hurriedness of life, the demands of life. You see, this is what you need to do when you go into meditation and prayer with God. You escape this world with all of its its pressures and demands and all of its sin and ugliness, and you go to the throne of God and you get in touch with your existence there with Him. For that is where your orientation for living resides. And so we need to realize that the blessings that flow from God's throne come from Him and the heavenly places. And in Him, we have peace, we have strength, we have wisdom, we have everything that we need, power to live this life. And it's not easy to live the Christian life. We have power over the enemy, over sin, over death. I love the story that came out of our scrimmage there in Afghanistan. And one day, the Afghanis were pinned down by the Taliban, and the Taliban just were holding them captive, and they called in to our soldiers. And then sometime after that, one soldier arrives, and he has a backpack. And they look at him like, where are the other 100? And so he asks them, where's the enemy? And they said, well, they're over there. Pulls out his backpack, pulls out his GPS and all of his instruments, takes the target, calls it in. Two jet bombers come and just devour the enemy, blast him. You see, we have all power in our Lord. We don't know what we have, but all power of heaven, all the riches of heaven, all the wisdom of heaven is there just a prayer away. We possess that as God's children. Which leads me to the second truth, that you are chosen by God. He chose us in Him, the scriptures say in verse 4, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. You know, I don't know if you remember those days, and some of you children do, when you're choosing sides to play a game and everything, and they get down to you, and you're next to last, and you are last by default. And it happens too many times. And listen, it's happened to all of us, children. It's nothing against you. I mean, some things we're good at, some things we're not. I was small all my life, and I still am about, you can look at me. And so it really kind of makes us feel like we're left out, doesn't it? It makes us feel like I don't belong. And maybe you feel that way, but can I tell you, you're special. God chose you before the creations of the world. He looked down the corridor of time and He saw your face. And He said, I want you to be my special person, to love me, to serve me, for us to have fellowship and relationship together. And it is through Jesus that we have this relationship. We are called to be separate, to be holy. And the word there is hagias, which is the same word we get for saint. It means set apart unto God. We are not only His special people, we are His bride. And can I tell you, He's a very jealous God. He'll have no other gods before Him, nothing before Him. He loves us that much. He's called us to a separate life. We live unto Him. And when we live unto Him, we find all that we need in Him. There's nothing this world can give us that He can't give. And so we become His, holy and blameless. You say, well, I'm not blameless. I mean, I've sinned. I know, I've sinned too. But It is in Christ Jesus that he has made us blameless. Listen to this. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now, why do I bring this to mind? Because Satan, our enemy, is always accusing us. He'll accuse you of sins that took place 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago. Let me just to help you understand that when God convicts us, it always leads to repentance and to forgiveness and peace. But when Satan wants to throw guilt on us, it leads only to shame. It just continues to build in guilt and depression and everything else that goes with it. And what we would need to say, and I'll labor on this a little later, we're forgiven of that sin. We are God's holy people, blameless, because Christ is in us. Christ covers us with his righteousness, and you need to remind Satan of this. But the third truth of who you are in Christ Jesus is that you are adopted into his family. Now, we read he predestined us. That just means he predetermined before time for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to praise the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I don't know what your father figure is, but I have known throughout the course of time in my experience in ministry that there have been some very cruel fathers, some absentee fathers. And there are some who say, don't even mention that. Don't even mention the word father. It's a bad word. I'm here to say, it's a good word because we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who has adopted us. I was a child of an orphan. My father, at 3 years of age, tried to get in the coffin with his father. It was a bad experience. He never really got over that experience. He didn't know how to love as a father. He didn't know how to act. Oh, he was a good father, as good as he could be. But there are times that I wish that I could have been his father to encourage him, to help him reach his potential, to help him know that he's loved, and all that goes with being a child of God and having a father who loves us more than life, more than his son, because he gave his only son that we might have life in him. So we are his children. It pleased him as he looked down through the corridors of time to choose us, to adopt us as his own. We read in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, you must receive him. All of what I am saying is of naught unless you know Christ and have given your life to him and received his righteousness, the life that he has to give in exchange for our sinfulness. And so we are adopted as his children, as his sons and daughters, and given the rights of sonship and daughtership. The privileges, just as a natural son. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And so, please know, you have a loving father who would never mistreat you, one who desires the very best for you, and you're part of the greatest family of God. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or dreamed some of these selfish dreams we have at times, but what family you would like to belong to. I mean, you know, the richest families in the world or the most famous or, you know, or maybe the most brilliant. Just admit it, you've had some of those dreams, you know, where there was just unlimited access to a life that you really don't have. Well, I'm here to tell you, you belong to the greatest family on the face of this earth if you belong to Christ Jesus. You need to realize that. You are someone in Christ. It's not necessarily who you are, but whose you are. But it leads me to the fourth truth. You are redeemed and forgiven. In Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That word for redemption, apolutrosis. You want to say it? We'll have a Greek word for today. Apolutrosis. Good, good. Just kind of carrying on. You who don't know, our pastor gives us a Greek lesson every Sunday. But it's rich in meaning, coming from apolutron, which means the payment of a ransom. What does that mean? It means that we were held captive by sin's curse, our condition, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And there is none that is righteous in their own works or acts. And so it is that we received the payment from God through Christ for our ransom. We read, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Also in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, God made Him who had no sin, to be sin for us, and we are sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, we who were enslaved, held by the shackles of sin, and by the way, it wasn't Satan that God paid the ransom to, understand that. God paid the ransom to His own self. His righteousness demands righteousness. Let me tell you this, sin cannot atone for sin. No matter how good you try to be, you'll never measure up. Only Jesus, who was perfect without sin, who died on the cross, can pay for the penalty of your sin. Jesus is the one who paid it. God is the one who received that payment, and it was pleasing to Him that the Son should pay and we might all be redeemed through Him. And so, not only are we redeemed, but we are forgiven. I want that to sink deeply into your minds. We are forgiven by God through the blood of Christ. That word for forgiven is to send away. The priest, and you can look up later in Leviticus, the 6th chapter, 9 through 10. The priest would take two goats. One goat he would offer as a sacrifice to God. The other goat, he would commit the sins of the people upon the head of that goat. And then he would find a trustworthy person who would take that goat so far out into the wilderness that it would never come back to camp. Jesus was that scapegoat who took on our sins. And as the Psalm 103 says, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So when Satan comes to heap guilt upon you, you've already been forgiven. It's covered by the blood of Christ. He has taken away your sins. I like the words of Big Daddy Weave. He says, "Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you looked at this prisoner and say to me, 'Son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free.' So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, that I'm not who I used to be. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, 'Child, lift up your head,' I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. I'll wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. No, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed." And then the fifth truth is that you know the mystery of God's kingdom. And what is that mystery? The word mysterion means that which was hidden, that is now revealed. That which was hidden before the foundations of the earth, God chose that he would send his only son to die in our stead, to redeem us, and to remove the shackles of sin. But not only that, that there will come in the fullness of time, and that word is kairos, which means that which will complete the will of God in time. God will come for his own. He will rapture us. We will go and be with him. As his bride, we will be joined to him. We will be in eternity with him. We will reign with him on high. You say, "I've heard that." Have they? Has the world? We know the mystery. Nothing else in this world that you will ever know will rise to the importance, the significance of these truths. No decision you'll ever make, or whatever you do with your life, this is the most important thing to know and to do. There are those who are listening here, and perhaps you who are listening in by our live stream, God is prompting you right now to give your life to him, to receive what Christ has to give you, which is far greater than what you have right now. There's no comparison. And maybe you are shackled by sin. Maybe you are hopeless at this moment. And you need to find hope. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of him. We're going to stand. Let's have a word of prayer as we stand. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us enough to come, to live and to lay down your life, your sinless life as a sacrifice on a cross, to do what we could not do, to pay a price that we could not pay for a life that we could not earn. Oh God, thank you for your desire to make us yours. And I pray right now that you would speak to the hearts of these, Lord, who need to know you. Help them to know now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn to you, to turn from sin, and to give their lives to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed, eye closed, perhaps today we have one who would say, "I need this life. that you talk about. I want Christ. I don't want to put it off another day. You can just slip out into the aisle right now. Come down. Our advisory team will be here. They will be ready to speak with you. Maybe you're a believer. You have been tossed to and fro. You've come to the end of your rope and you've just become confused. You've forgotten all that you have in Christ Jesus. You just need to grab a hold of what God's already given you. Maybe you need prayer. Come. Come and just reestablish in your heart and your mind what you have as a believer. We won't extend this. This will be a very brief time, and so you must act now. You must move. You who are there listening in through our internet, you know God's speaking to you. Now is the time. And if you've made that decision, share it with us. You can share it online, and we will pray for you. Our Lord, as you are doing business in the hearts of these and many others, we just pray that you would move in a powerful way. We pray today for those who are struggling, those who are lost. We pray now that you would come, set them free, speak to their hearts, bring the light, the hope, the joy, the fullness of Christ, that they might believe, that they might have the Father who loves them more than anything else, a family that loves and prays together, that encourages one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.